Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
It's getting near dawn.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is www.jbsba.com. Phyllis Martin is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. She's the old friend of ours, a longtime member of our Brain Trust, and the author of one of the best books in my library, The Word Watcher's Handbook, which has been out for a long time and just keeps selling because it's a very important book. She's also a novelist. Actually, Phyllis is a Renaissance woman. She's done it all. She's got a radio show. She's a columnist. She's a human resources professional and just one of the best members of our Brain Trust that we have. Phyllis Martin, welcome back to the show.
Oh, thank you, Jim. Good to be back.
It's good to have you back, as always. What's on your mind today?
A little sound advice.
Okay. I can always, you know what, Phyllis, I can always use some sound advice.
Oh, I think we all can. We have to put our best communications forward, and if we don't, it hurts our business. And I'm very fortunate today because I have some material from the sales and marketing executives of Cincinnati, and they've made a list of words that buyers like. And they've also made a list of words that buyers don't like. And I think if you have a small business, it pays to pay attention to those words.
One of the biggest mistakes I think people make in the marketplace, and probably just in our lives, not in the marketplace, speaking is a wonderful gift that humans have. It's the thing that separates us from most other animals, you know, with the exception, I guess, of parrots and minor birds. But but you know, it comes so natural for us, and it's something that we do, you know, from a early age. We're encouraged to do it, and it's such an important part of our life that we really take it for granted when we're communicating really important conversations, don't we?
Oh, indeed we do, and we try to sometimes, particularly in business, sugarcoat our message if it's bad, and we shouldn't do that. We have to be honest up front, and I think the smart business person promises absolutely everything later than he can deliver it or she can
mm-hmm.
deliver it,
mm-hmm.
and we don't learn that, and we don't learn to correct our speech because I noticed your topic for me was putting your best communications forward, and we have to do that just as we look at the way we look.
Well, and for most of us, I guess there are a few people out there who are blessed with the ability to always get it right, but for most of us, we really have to work at it, don't we? It's something that we really need to spend some time and plan to think about how we're the word not only the words we're using. Which is something that you talk to us a lot about, and we'll talk about today, Phyllis, but also, as you said, how we deliver those words and when.
Oh, absolutely. And I noticed in your business, your advocate newsletter, which I read thoroughly.
Thank you.
That you advise those who have businesses to listen to their employees.
Mm-hmm.
And I beg the boss to do that because you're not going to hear your own mistakes. And you might be making what I call linguistic lemons, and that turns the customer off.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're patient enough to ask the employees under you, please tell me about mistakes I make, you're in for a big surprise, sometimes an ugly one.
Well, but, you know, most small businesses aren't hiring people to dig ditches or to work on the farm and or to chop wood or whatever. Most businesses hire people to do things where they use their brain, and so you're hiring people who are smart. Most of us are. I certainly try to do that, and so I think it's important for us to stop and say, you know what, we're hiring brains, not brawn anymore. Most of us are.
Right.
So let's use the brains that we're paying for through the payroll that we're paying them. Let's use those brains to our best advantage.
Oh, absolutely. You train them, but let them help train you, because this conversational cholesterol
right.
clogs the communication system. And sometimes it's just an annoying tick or burr that we have in our speech. And our employees can say, you always say, to be frank, but you say it so many times, it's tiresome.
Well, and what you could say is you know, I have a rule that I think my folks know that if they hear me say something like you were just saying, some repetitive type thing, that they, you know, they got the green light to say, you know, Jim, you probably haven't noticed this, but you started doing this.
Oh,
and,
yes.
And it's okay around the office, but I wonder if it could create a problem when you're dealing with customers.
Oh, indeed it could. And of course, the nice thing about it is that if you ask them to monitor your speech, then the reverse is true. You can say, well, we have this pact that you tell me about my mistakes. I've noticed that you say it don't all the time.
Uh-huh.
And if you say it don't once, you probably say it 100 times a week.
Well, I do that with the folks around me, and as I said, they know they can do that with me. In fact, with all my writing that I do, the folks here in my office are my editors.
Oh, and, absolutely.
And so they get to take shots at me all the time. they're always coming back and saying, are you sure you wanted to say it like that?
Yeah.
So if somebody says something, if I hear someone say a word, maybe they say irregardless, which is as you and I've talked about before,
yes.
Is a word that doesn't exist. It really isn't a word. But if they say irregardless, you know, you might let it go. I might not jump on them immediately. But if they use it the second time, you know, just in case they may have just made a mistake the first time and didn't mean to say that. But if they say it the second time, then that means that, you know, that you can be pretty sure that they don't understand that the word is regardless, not irregardless.
Oh, yes. And, of course, bloopers occur all of the time because we don't proofread and we don't ask someone else to proofread. And in fact, I've made a collection of some of them, and, oh, are they awful. One person wrote revolved customer problems and inquiries instead of resolved.
Well, of course, sometimes those are just natural typos. Or I had one like that in a letter the other day. That an errant letter. They got stuck in there. And, you know, we have to. But when we speak those things, we don't speak typos, do we?
No, we don't. No.
Phyllis, stand by. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Phyllis is going to help us put our best foot forward more right after these messages. Phyllis Martin, the author of Word Watchers Handbook. Stay with us. It's 20 after. We're back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Phyllis Martin is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. And not only is Phyllis the author of an outstanding book called Word Watchers Handbook, but she is also a novelist. She's got a book called Return to Chipping Sodbury, and she and some other authors, including her husband, have written a book called Killing is Murder. So if you like fiction, if you like novels, then I encourage you to check these out. Phyllis, tell us where they're available, please.
Well, basically, Barnes & Noble, iUniverse.com, Amazon.com, major bookstores. But I want to stress that Word Watchers Handbook is in many libraries.
Right.
Yes.
Yes, it
but
is.
You should have your own copy. You really
hundreds
should.
Of thousands of these books are all over the country, and I think they're in other countries too, aren't they?
Yes. I hear from England, from France. I was really surprised.
That's great.
And many Canadians.
Yeah. Word Watchers Handbook, and that's you can, in addition to the others, iUniverse.com, and
correct.
Phyllis Martin is spelled just like you think Phyllis Martin would be spelled. Phyllis, you want to talk to us about words that customers like and don't like?
Yes. This doesn't surprise you, I'm sure, Jim, but the favorite word that customers like is the word you and yours. Service, success, superior. Progress, integrity, they like that word.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some words they don't like. They don't like the word alibi. They don't like apology. So think of something else. Try not to make an apology.
Mm-hmm.
As we said earlier, if you promise everything later than you can deliver it, then you don't have to apologize. And estimates should always come in under the promised estimate. They also, speaking of words they don't like, extravagant, fraud, ignorant, they don't like to be called that.
Imagine that. Who would have thought that, huh?
Well, you wouldn't be surprised. But some people would be surprised at what employers and business people have called customers at times.
Mm-hmm. One of the words that I know that they do like, and they like it a lot, is their own name.
Oh, yes. There was a psychologist years ago, a Dr. Frank Crane, who said that every person had written across his forehead, "I want to feel important." And if we could just remember that, it's invisible, but mm-hmm. it's there. And they do like their names. Oh, absolutely.
Can I have a little pet peeve that I've accumulated over the last year or so.
Oh, let's hear it.
I'd like to ask you about no problem.
Oh.
I do not like it when people who are waiting on me say no problem. And you know who are the worst are waiters and waitresses.
Oh, yes.
You'll say, can I have a bottle of ketchup? No problem. Or bring the check. No problem. You know, they're making it, in my mind, it makes it sound like that it really could have been a problem, but I'm going to make it not a problem because I'm not going to mind that you ask me for the ketchup. And stop saying that, folks.
Oh, absolutely. I was so thrilled when a waiter said to me, "It will be my pleasure."
Yeah, what's wrong with that? Glad to do it. Absolutely. I'll be right back. Thank you very much. I'll check on that right away. Here's something that happened. Recently, I called a software company to because I had a problem.
You talked to somebody
in India. I promise you. No, it was in the United States, I think. But I promise you, I said, "This is what's going on, and I need some help." And he kept saying, "No problem." And he wasn't helping me, and he wasn't doing a good job, and he was making it sound like, you know, it was my fault instead of his. And finally, he said, "No problem." Again, I said, "Wait a minute." I said, "You don't understand. We absolutely do have a problem. It is not no problem. We have a problem. You have a problem." And so it made me mad. And anyway, the thing is, it's a very, I don't know, it's just an unfriendly thing to say to me. Phyllis, what do you think?
Oh, I agree wholeheartedly. I'm trying to think of something else. Anything that you say over and over becomes so rote. They have a nice day. It was certainly well-intentioned, but I think it's much better to say, "I hope you enjoy the rest of your shopping," or "Thank you for shopping with us," instead of that just have a nice day, as though it just pops out of you and you're not really thinking.
This has almost become this no problem thing, Phyllis, has almost become an epidemic. Folks, if you're listening to your employees and they're saying no problem to customers, you need to fix that.
Oh, yes. And fix it right away, please, today.
Right. Yes. All right, what else? I'm off my soapbox now.
All right, okay. Words that buyers like: advantage, appreciate, benefit, confidence, conscientious, cooperation, courtesy, dependable. Economy, they like that one.
Mm-hmm.
Enthusiasm, genuine, helpful, honesty, honor, integrity. Notice how those words are coming up?
Mm-hmm.
They want to be sure that the business person is honest with them. Loyalty, please, practical. And some of the words they don't like: failure, fault, I mentioned that, fear, fraud, hardship, ignorant, impossible.
Phyllis, can I stop you for a second? You know, if you got a difficult customer, and they brought you something that actually is something that your company should have fixed or didn't do right, one of the best ways to diffuse any kind of a problem is to say, "Well, this looks like it's our fault."
Oh, yes. And refreshing to hear that, isn't it?
It completely takes their barrier, the barriers and the defensive mechanism down, doesn't it?
Yes, they're not crazy. They know there's a problem.
They're not ignorant, are they?
No. And if you try to sugarcoat it too much, they think you're dishonest.
Phyllis, give us your website one more time. Where they get the books.
Yes. You should order the book. That's what I want to tell you. iUniverse.com, Amazon.com, and Book of Course is Word Watchers Handbook, a delictionary of most abused and disused words.
Word Watchers Handbook by Phyllis Martin. Thanks, Phyllis. See you next time.
Okay, good.
Quick break. I'll be right back. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.